when you ask them what you've been in, nobody knows this place is on the map.
Too small. This is the radar unless there's a big problem.
But when you look at the hazard potential here, they could blow up and kill 8 people in a heartbeat.
The person you just heard is Steele Johns. Johns is a safety manager for a division of Greif Incorporated. Greif reconditions 55-gallon steel drums, cleaning them for reuse by other companies. However, a Journal Sentinel investigation shows that Greif has disregarded safe practices for the handling of hazardous chemicals found in such barrels. Practices at 6 facilities have resulted in workers suffering chemical burns and heat-related burns. Injuries from exploding barrels led to the death of one Wisconsin employee in 1984. At one Milwaukee plant, workers said chemical residue was washed down a floor drain. You're listening to Behind the Headlines from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. In today's show, we'll hear from Pulitzer Prize winner Raquel Rutledge. Raquel teamed up with reporter Rick Barrett on an investigation into Greif's dangerous practices.
So this story really came to us through a whistleblower. This is a person by the name of Will Kramer, who had worked in the safety consulting industry for a number of years, more than six years. And his job was to go into companies and see, help them comply with federal regulations and look at their best practices and really minimize their insurance, the liability risk. So he would go in companies, really, Fortune 500 companies, big corporations, and really take a look at their safety. He and a team of consultants, that was his job. So the story came about when he went into one of these steel drum manufacturing plants in Milwaukee and found some of their practices that just were terrifying to him. He found that workers were pouring unknown chemicals, sometimes hazardous, into a single container, mixing them. And they're not chemists, and they didn't know what they were dealing with.
Here's Will Kramer describing his time consulting with Greif and what he encountered there.
The safety professional that we were talking to the first day we were there said, we could, any given moment, something could blow up here. We could kill 8 people in a heartbeat. And the only reason that it hasn't happened is because of luck. I mean, that's the situation I walked into. And so I knew. I mean, I knew I had to do something about it because I can't live. I mean, I feel both in my role as a safety person and just as a human, I feel responsible for people's lives. When you have the power to do something, I feel like you have to.
The way it's supposed to work is that, chemicals are shipped around our country for all kinds of things. The chemical compounds that go into everything that we use every day, from aftershave to antifreeze, they move around the country typically in these big drums, 55-gallon steel drums or sometimes these large plastic totes. And the companies like to recycle them, reuse them. But when they do, they're supposed to send them to the refurbishing plants as empty. And the definition of empty, though, is not necessarily the one you would find in the dictionary. It empty by the federal code of regulations gives them a little bit of wiggle room. That's where we found that the problems tend to exist. Is the definition by the EPA is that they can have as much as an inch of material in there as long as it's like gooey, viscous stuff that is not going to be poured out. And but what happens is the companies actually do end up sending, we can't tell how often, but from the 8 people that we interviewed, the 8 workers at these different plants in 4 different states, they tell us that they got these drums in that would have stuff in the bottom, sometimes less than an inch, sometimes more than an inch, but it was chemicals, and a lot of times they didn't know what it was. In processing this, these drums, they do a couple of things. Some of the plants actually take the drums, the steel drums, when they're as part of the refurbishing business, they burn them, they send them through a furnace, and that cleans them up. And so they have workers that stand outside the furnace. that load those drums into the furnace. And so when there's chemicals left in the bottom, it causes flashback fires. They light up and they flame out at them and burn them, actually physically heat-related burns. We've talked to some workers who have suffered those types of burns. In addition, the chemicals will sometimes spill out of the drums. They splash out of the drums, and they've caused just horrendous injuries to people's skin. That is, I mean, just one worker that we talked to had his leg burned from his ankle to his knee. I mean, literally ate through layers of his skin, peeled his skin all the way, I mean, just to the flesh. I mean, it just looked awful. And then there's one other way that we've come across that we found how they get injured, and that is from inhalation of these fumes. One of the workers said he was standing by a burner at one of the plants in Arkansas and happened to be breathing in right as he poured some of the liquid chemical out of the drum. And he just happened to be taking a deep breath, and he said it just took him to his knees. He said he started sweating golf balls, and he just felt like his lungs had just been scorched. And he went to the doctors, and they asked him, hey, did you know you've got, you know, COPD? You have some serious lung disease. That prior to that, he hadn't been aware that he had any kind of breathing issues.
Workers at an Oak Creek plant raised concerns. They were told they would receive support from Greif to make safety improvements. Those promises were never upheld.
We were told we were going to have people on the shop floor with us, going through safety procedures, hand in hand with the employees. We got zero.
Such practices have persisted for decades. In 1984, these practices would lead to the death of 23-year-old Charles Dugan.
Well, in Oak Creek, the young man, he was 23 years old, his name was Charles Dugan, and he was doing pretty much what they did every day there, which is capping off these drums. So they would empty chemicals from a number of drums into one drum to be hauled away. And so he was doing that. But what happened is he and another worker were standing outside the plant in Oak Creek and just had put the cap on the drum. And one of the workers had turned to walk away, and Charles Dugan leaned over to make sure the cap was secured on there, and the drum just exploded in his face, and just, you know, he died of blunt force trauma to the head. It killed him, and it ended up, you know, chemical shot in the air and covered the other worker.
Despite claims to the contrary, Greif is aware of the risk mixing chemicals poses to employees.
I said, one of these days, you're going to take and you're going to put 10 gallons of a flammable mixture, you know, whatever you take out of those 30 stainless steel totes, and you took them all, and they all had big flammable labels on them, and you made this concoction, and you're going to add it to that 275-gallon tote, and that mother is going to blow up.
Yeah.
And when that happens, everybody is going to be sorry, but we knew it from the beginning. Mm. And this is not right.
Risking his reputation and job prospects, Will Kramer still decided to come forward.
Sometimes, I mean, the harm that you cause by continuing to make money in a just inherently unsafe way, I mean, there's just got to be a better solution. And I think you just have to value people's lives more than money. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, it has potential to get him in a lot of trouble. He did, you know, he signed a non-disclosure contract with the company, the consulting agency that he worked with, that he wouldn't. And that's been one of his complaints, is that, you know, the industry is, you know, their hands are tied as safety professionals when they go in these places because they get paid by the companies to help protect them from OSHA. So he feels like, you know, his hands are tied, but he just felt like it was too important that he was willing to you know, take the risk of breaching that contract and letting people know what's going on in this industry. I guess, I mean, just the importance of, you know, this industry is one that you've got 27 million barrels or drums being reconditioned every single year at roughly, I mean, just to give you a scope of how big this is, there's, you know, roughly 100 different plants around the country that do this type of work. And so, you know, we've focused on the six that we've, you know, had insight into through the recordings, et cetera. And, you know, it just seems like there is the regulatory agencies have not been able to nail down the, you know, how to actually prevent this from happening. There's a lot of regulatory agencies that have oversight of this. There's the Department of Transportation in terms of shipping the stuff. There's the EPA in terms of their regulations, and then there's local or state, you know, regulators that have a piece of it. And it just seems to me that it's all been sort of piecemeal, and they haven't been able to prevent it thus far.
Here's Will Kramer once again.
In a just world, the executives and the people at Greif who profit off of this, in a just world, they would have to work in these facilities and subject themselves to the risk and the harm that their workers did. But I wouldn't wish that on anybody, because it's not. Nobody should have to exist in the conditions that these people put them in, whether it's your worst enemy. But short of that, there should be real accountability.
Raquel Rutledge and Rick Barrett have continued to cover this story, including reaction stories. If you're interested in reading their full series, it's available at jsonline.com/burned. Again, that's jsonline.com/burned. Thank you for listening to this week's Behind the Headlines. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell. I'd like to thank reporter Rick Barrett for interviewing Raquel, giving us the bulk of audio for this week's episode. Many thanks to Mike DeSisti as well. Mike recorded our interview with Will Kramer. Tune in next week for more behind-the-scenes information from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.